This week in Your Parents' Basement, we're showing them Ruskies what we're all about as we play the classic run-and-gun game for the arcade and NES, Russian Attack. I'm Steve Greenwell. With me is the man with the plan, Todd Brisket.
I want what they want. And every other guy who came over here and spilled his guts and gave everything he had once for our country to love us as much as we love it. That's what I want.
Good Lord. And our other co-host, he saw a lot of things go down in Russia. Things he doesn't want to talk about. But he will for us. It's Huell Hauser.
Well done. First target overcome.
And today, we're joined by a special guest. He's the man who loves punishing games of difficulty like this one and firearms. It's noted Second Amendment enthusiast, Backsack.
Your mission, destroy the enemy's secret weapon. Good luck!
You can reach us by email at parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. If you like the show, be sure to subscribe to it on iTunes and give us some stars. Also, please support the show by using our Amazon click-through link at www.yppodcast.com. This week's game is Russian Attack, which is a pun for what was happening to the U.S. in the 1980s and now. Given the times we live in, it was perfect for Backsack to nominate this game for coverage this week. So, Sack, what are some of your memories on this one?
Let's see. My memories on this one, first of all, the fantastic cover art, which features Dabney Coleman from Cloak and Dagger.
Yes. Oh, yes. It's glorious.
It's fantastic. Although I'm not sure. He's got a rocket launcher, but he's shooting lasers out of it for some reason.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a flashlight.
I thought it was just a huge camera, and he was taking a picture.
It could be that, too.
It does look like a zoom lens, yeah.
Yeah, but considering that one of your main weapons that you pick up along the way is a rocket launcher, most likely is that. I have many fond memories of playing this game. Playing it again, however, I wonder what the hell was wrong with me, because... It's damn near impossible. Mm-hmm. I mean, I died literally 100 times before I just decided to say screw it and abuse the save states. Oh. And doing that, I only got to, I think, the fourth level, which is the snow level.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's funny you say only the fourth, because I think I got a third of the way through the second level, maybe. Mm-hmm. And I was like... This is ridiculous.
I mean, it's not, as long as you get the patterns down. I mean, the bright red guys jump, right? You can run into them. The yellow guys give you,
they shoot you
power ups, and then the other yellow guys shoot you. You have to duck.
Right, and the other yellow guys. Right.
The other yellow guys, the different yellow guys. Well, the yellow guys are laying down. Mm-hmm. Those are the ones that give you the prizes. POWs, the POWs.
They lay down for you. They spread spread open and give you a prize.
Yes, they're quite compliant. And once you figure it out, it's not that bad, but it's just relentless.
It's the reaction times. In my old age, I don't have the reaction times.
I don't either.
Like I'll recognize the guy's gonna jump, but it's getting to jump and stab or spam the stab button that I can't get a hold of.
Did you figure out that all you have to do is just run under them as they jump over you?
No, of course not.
That's I figured that out after a little while.
Well, I did notice, if an enemy gets by you, he just keeps running and he's gone.
Highly inefficient method of attack.
Not very well trained.
No. Well, I mean, this is an army you're fighting where they have troops. An entire troop
wave
of
after wave.
red pant guys that they're only attack. They don't have weapons. They just jump at you.
Mm. Well, it's weird. That's kind of how the enemies in Contra work too, where like very few of them actually have guns. They're just gonna run into you, and that causes you to die.
Yeah. Imagine playing this game as like this one guy. You're one dude. You're Devin Coleman. You go down, they deploy you behind enemy lines with just a knife, and he massacres like he commits genocide on this poor country here. Like there's so many orphans, so many bastard children in this country now.
That's Not since the death of the Jawas in Super Star Wars has there been an entire race eradicated like this game.
This is about the same level of Jawa slaughter.
So many dirty red commie orphans.
I mean, they deserved it, right?
Yeah, of course.
I do love, it is called Russian Attack, but we are clearly the ones going in and attacking everyone.
This is their home. Minding their own business. They're just
this is their
out.
Home base, yeah. And all of a sudden, Dabney Coleman comes in.
Over there doing some jumping jacks, hanging out.
Doing some calisthenics, you know. Some Iroquois twists. And here comes Dabney Coleman with a knife, laying waste to the Russian people.
They shouldn't have given him that bad review on Cloak and Dagger, right? What are you going to do?
It's going to be called Dabney Attack. That should be the name of this game.
How have we turned into the Gilbert Gottfried podcast? Just constant references to 80-year-old movie stars.
Blowing back sacks on, you know. I mean, these things happen.
that Dabney Coleman's no Lee Emery, I'll tell you that right now.
What was that back sec?
That about sums up my thoughts on the game.
It's very accurate, that's for sure.
My main thought was you could instantly tell this game was by Konami because I thought I was playing Castlevania. Like the music is like almost exactly the same as Castlevania's.
And they use some of the same sound effects from Contra.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I noticed a few of them.
Yeah, the music was very good, but you got a point that
the same
range as Castlevania.
Yeah, when I was researching title tracks for the Snifferoo last week, I mistakenly thought I had gotten the Contra theme, like just a doo 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 doo.
Yeah. My first note is Contra with knives. That's basically this game.
Yeah. This is pretty much my only note on this game is like this is like poor man's Contra.
Well, to be fair to it, this came out 2 years before Contra.
Okay, yeah, I can see that. Contra guns were invented. Is much more rounded for sure.
Yes, exactly. Yes, before guns were invented.
Before Smith met Wesson.
Yeah, speaking of guns, like you start out the game with a knife, and that's all you need to beat this game is you just knife every single person in the gut. But they also drop an occasional rifle in Rocket Launcher. The rifles only have 3 bullets, I believe.
Yeah.
So they're kind of worthless. It's like not even worth picking up. Just run through the stage and keep knifing everybody. That's all you got to do.
Yeah.
Some might say knives are guns of the past.
I don't think anyone's ever said that.
I don't think that's accurate, but...
Well, you know, horses are motorcycles of the past.
Well, that makes sense, but...
Well, like bow and arrow or
yeah.
Really shooting something.
You need a projectile.
One of those knife launchers.
Maybe a sling. There you go. A sling is your gun for the past.
There you go. I'll take that.
Sling, yeah. That's right.
Ah, you guys.
Although, along with the very realistic bazooka and knife that the guys drop and the rifle, you get invincibility stars.
Oh yeah.
I enjoyed that aspect of like in this hyper realistic war. Mm-hmm.
It's hyper realistic because
yeah.
Those are LSD tabs that they drop and you just freak out and go.
Oh. The army's on ecstasy. So they give you LSD.
Yeah.
Yeah. You get an adrenaline rush.
Part of the FBI's MK Ultra experimental program, right?
There it is. Okay.
They gave us LSD.
Yeah. Yeah, 'cause this is one of those classic one-hit kill games where you can't get hit at all or you're dead.
Yeah.
So the drugs just make you impervious to pain.
It's not really true, though, that you can stab someone and they just die in one hit because I was watching Slender Man documentary yesterday.
Oh, no.
Have you seen that on HBO?
I haven't seen it, but I think I know where you're going with this.
Okay, it's a it's two young girls.
Is this a good fun story for the kids? They love the Slendermans.
Yeah, I hope Hawk's little one is listening right now.
Well, he should know that the Slenderman, in order to get into his good graces, you must murder someone, And these two little girls did that, and they'd stabbed their friend 19 times. She didn't die. So my point is, Russian attack, not realistic.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know that was a debate, that that was such a real-life worry for you. Yeah.
Well,
I've long been waiting for a hyper-realistic game where you just stab somebody 19 times. It comes out.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so why didn't they make that one? This would have been a lot harder.
Yeah.
if you had to stab everyone 19 times.
Almost there. Just need number 20 to finally finish them off.
All right. That's the first guy.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, this guy's jumping. Hold on. Take a while.
Well, see, in that way, video games are more realistic than, like, Legend of Zelda, where you have to hit something like 40 times before it dies.
Yeah, but those are like giant spider creatures.
Yeah.
I don't know if realistic's really the word you're looking for.
No, it's pretty realistic. Also, rings help you live longer.
Mm-hmm. It's well known.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what my doctor tells me all the time.
Well, there are some rings that help some things last longer, but I don't think they're in Zelda.
Oh, no. They might also be encrusted with jewels.
Yeah.
Only some of them. Depends what night it is. It's like Valentine's Day. Yeah.
No, that's when you put a little rose on it.
Little ribbon.
Oh.
Yeah. Bow.
So what was your favorite annoying enemy? Was it truckload of running and jump kicking soldiers? Stage two ends with a pack of fierce dogs.
Oh, are you saying the bosses?
Oh, the dogs. Oh, yeah.
Stage three, there are three shooting auto gyros. In stage four, there's a skillful multi-shot flamethrower operator.
Oh, my.
I didn't get to that guy.
Is that skillful?
The dogs were easy.
The flamethrower operator.
The dogs, just there's six that come from the right, six from the left, six from the right, six from the left, and then six from either side, alternating.
Yeah, and they just stay on the ground. If you just
lay there. And
the key to this game is never stop stabbing.
Yes,
yeah. Never stop stabbing.
Spam
the entire
that knife.
Never stop. Never stabbing.
Never. Yes, you are just constant stabs.
Well, I like how in the manual they describe the bosses like this. The stage one boss is jumping soldiers. Stage two boss is Rocket Man. Mm-hmm. Stage three boss is dog.
Single dog.
Dog. Yes.
Stage four, Todd.
Oh, autogyro. Or as they say in the Mediterranean, autohero.
Yes, autohero.
That's yes.
Exactly what they say.
Yeah.
Delicious sandwich.
Yes. Stage five is parachute troop. In stage six, find yourself. Yes. Is this where Dabney Coleman just like breaks down and has an existential crisis?
It's where he takes his final LSD tab,
yeah.
Looks inward, and really finds himself on a gnarly trip.
Yeah.
Backsack, are you eating chips? What's going on?
He's going number one.
I heard a zipper. Zip.
I'm sorry, I'm having some popcorn.
Mom. What?
Yeah, perfect.
In the middle of the podcast?
Listen, you knew what you got when you invited me on. Right?
Listen, he's just going to flick on Cloak and Dagger, just settle in a bit.
Kick back.
Embedded in his mind now, he has to watch it.
Yeah.
I'll give you a running commentary. But that was one of my favorite movies growing up.
Did you watch it as a double feature with The Last Starfighter, apparently?
It was one of the few.
Oh, that's
movies.
That new Star Wars movie coming out, right?
The Last Starfighter?
Yeah.
That sounds familiar. Yeah. But little known fact, Cloak and Dagger, one of the very few movies to feature the scenic riverwalk of San Antonio as the main backdrop.
Right. How do you know that?
Well, it was quite the public relations coup when San Antonio found out that it would be the location for Cloak and Dagger.
Fellas, we're going to put ourselves on the map.
Hang on, I gotta turn on my rock tumbler. I'll be right back.
I'm sorry, I'll stop.
It must be one of those, like, every movie shot in Providence or in Rhode Island, immediately everyone in Rhode Island then knows it for the rest of time.
Oh, of course.
Like Moonlight Kingdom and Me, Myself, and Irene.
Moonrise Kingdom?
Whatever. Yep. I didn't watch it.
That's pretty clear.
Listen, I live here. Why do I need to watch that movie?
Oh, well.
Low blow. Shots fired to Wes Anderson.
I'm sure he's making a smirking face somewhere right now in response.
That's all his face does.
He's setting up a diorama somewhere.
He has two emotions, smirk and pout.
I do. So the manual, as Steve alluded to, even it has the classic illustrations of enemies. But it's funny that the jumping soldier is both a boss and a normal soldier, because the boss version just spams, I think, what felt like 20 of them flying from all sides.
Wow. Well, that's cool.
Yeah, that is.
Sorry.
Is anyone else doing this episode movie today?
Backstack is too busy.
I'm just thinking about Cloak and Dagger.
Backstack's too busy stuffing himself full of popcorn, apparently, to respond to your salient point about bosses.
I told you earlier that I had reached the bottom of my knowledge on this game.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, this is like Contra, but much shorter. So the arcade version.
Do we know how many levels it has? Was I close to the end?
According to Wikipedia, 6 in the NES version, 4 in the arcade version.
Oh,
there's 6 levels.
Yeah,
we got Iron Bridge. We got the airport. There's the harbor, forest and air shield, the warehouse, and the enemy base. Which I feel like this whole thing is the enemy base, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, I thought that might be the case.
You know, you point out a real contradiction in this game. You're right. We're attacking them. Why is it called Russian Attack?
I know. It's makes insane. No sense.
Well, you're just indiscriminately attacking Russians, I think. That's what the title implies.
Oh, it is a Russian attack.
Rush in it is, it and is, attack.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It is Rush N.
It's a Russian
attack.
Attack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Russian! Exclamation point. Attack.
Yeah, they're not big on punctuation. It was one of those Nintendo rules you can do.
Oh, this has some of the most punctuation that I've ever seen. that's not technically punctuation, is it?
The apostrophe?
Yeah. I guess it is.
Why is that not punctuation?
Well, I thought that meant like the end of the sentence, but I guess it could be apostrophes, it could be colons.
Yeah, what's the deal here? Let's get to the bottom of this.
What,
what's the deal with the apostrophe?
The breakdown?
What's the deal?
Because this is a rushing attack, but
you're rushing to attack, and you're also Russian attack.
All right, according to Wikipedia, the first line, the apostrophe character is a punctuation mark.
Got it.
Well, yeah.
No one should listen to me. I thought we've been over this.
Here's Russian Attack is remembered for its Cold War setting and its reliance on the player using a knife to dispatch enemies. That's all.
There you go. Yeah.
That's it.
Dispatch. I think we got it covered.
Yeah, why don't we just read that and move on?
The omnipresent knife can be supplemented with captured arms. Someone was really getting flowery with their language.
What nerd wrote that?
I know.
The omnipresent knife.
It's succulent and omnipresent.
Supplemented with the ever-present rifle.
How about this one? The in-game music is a looping drum cadence.
Oh, put it like that.
Drum cadence. Ooh.
Well, they do know.
Go ahead.
They do note in the manual the object in each stage is to move to the right of the screen, killing enemy soldiers,
So it's like real life.
That sums it up right there.
Yeah. Well, a few other notes about this game. Where is it now and whatnot? This game was released in Europe. It was called Green Beret over there. And based on like every system ever. So
really?
And the Commodore 64.
ZX.
Game Boy Color.
It was indeed the Amstrad.
What?
The Atari 8-bit, the BBC Micro. I don't even.
But what about the ZX Spectrum?
Yes, indeed. It was released on the ZX Spectrum. So and there was a sequel released in 2011 for the PlayStation 3. I'm going to read the description because it makes it sound better than it is. The game follows Sergeant Sid Morrow, an American special agent sent with his team to recover a prisoner from a secret Russian military base. And it's more of a platformer, it looks like, the sequel.
That one was developed by Vatra Games, a company in the Czech Republic, and they developed two games before closing. Mm-hmm. They had developed that one, Russian Attack Expatriate, and then Silent Hill Downpour.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And then went bankrupt.
Yep. And Sergeant Sid Morrow, call sign Wolf Spider, is sent with a team on Operation Angel Tear to retrieve original Harvest team member Rory Gibson.
I bet it's Angel Tear.
Angel Tear sounds rather
dirty. Just put that out there. Probably Angel Tear. Is probably better than Angel Tear.
Angel Tear. Oh no!
Oh no!
Listen, either one seems like an Operation Wolf Spider would be into. So,
I'm gonna tear this angel up. Oh,
oh man! Did not expect that.
You don't send Wolf Spider in for a delicate operation.
You know, we have a lot of wolf spiders around my part of the world, and they're nice little spiders that eat bugs. Oh, okay, that's hanging out in the tall grass.
That's a real thing?
Yeah, wolf spiders.
Oh. Oh my god, it is. Oh, that looks terrifying. Well, it's a spider, of course it does, but... Anyways.
True.
That's all I had on this one. It already has a sequel. So, good for it.
I'm sorry,
Operation
you guys.
Angel Tear.
I'm sorry for nominating this game.
I'm sure, since you mentioned it was impossibly hard, I'm sure Pascal's Pager loved it. This is probably when it...
Oh, as soon as he heard it, he downloaded it.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, he bought the cartridge.
Yes, yeah. No, well, you can download this one. It is on the Xbox Live Arcade and pretty much all those kind of things.
Oh, someone's leaving.
You ring?
Someone, Dabney Coleman enters the haunted house.
Your popcorn, sir. I saw your bowl had been empty.
Yeah. You know that Dabney Coleman
popcorn, sir.
Studied law at the University of Texas before turning to acting.
Allow me to take your previous two empty bowls.
God damn. I had one bag and I'm only like a quarter of the way through. Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not on the East Coast like you guys. It's like dinner time now.
Oh my god. Don't worry about it. You're okay, man. You'll be alright.
Devouring popcorn like... Like Dabney Coleman devours scenery.
Devours the Ruskies.
Yeah.
This game, in my memory, it was awesome, but I think it's the jingoistic themes that resonate a little more clearly for 8-year-old Zach.
It's the 80s. There was like a million of these games, and they were all, all pretty fun.
Well, it's like what you said when you played Contra. It's like playing your own action movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Same concept.
Yeah.
Did you beat it as a kid?
I honestly don't remember. I doubt it. I mean, like, yes, I did.
Oh.
Yeah, you could just lie. It's not like, we would know.
It's true.
Well, we spoke to your mother, and she said...
that you're a dirty liar.
Yeah. All right. Well, Todd, did you have anything else you wanted to add about this one here?
No. No. I think we got it. Play Contra.
Yeah.
Good review.
Yep. Huel, how about you?
Since I couldn't get very far, I did watch a video, and the end of the game involves shooting your bazooka at a nuclear missile. What? And I don't know if that's recommended, but video games told me to do it, so if I ever see one, it's getting rocketed.
We're just trying to take out the boosters, the rocket boosters, not the payload.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
I'm not sure you can just shoot a warhead and it'll go off. I think it needs some kind of ignition system.
They were rockets. That ignites plenty of things.
Well, that's... Huh? That's true.
Depends. Was
it me outside! How about it?
Yeah. Fission bomb or a fusion bomb? What do we got here?
Yeah. Listen, Huel got his nuclear fission degree from... Upstairs Engineering School of Hollywood, and yes. He's going to tell us nuclear? How it all works right now.
Nuclear. It's pronounced
nuclear.
If there's anything this show has illustrated on a weekly basis, it's that I don't know how to talk. So, in fact, it hasn't even illustrated that since it's an audio format. So,
I mean, we picked an excellent group of people to host because I'm also excellent at speaking and talking good.
Your accents are beyond reproach.
Yeah.
Well, Todd, you're our international expert. So
cultures and people.
Yes, yes. There's nothing.
And being sensitive to their needs and wants.
Yes.
Of course.
Oh, Zach, anything else you wanted to wrap up this one on?
I'm good.
Okay. Oh, all right. Well, let's move right along to the email portion of the show. Todd, did you receive any emails?
Oh, no. I forgot to check my emails. I'll check it next time.
Okay, then.
You've had a good, strong run of emails, so.
Yeah. Huel, how about you? Did you receive any emails?
Unlike other hosts, I did check my email box, and I got one email.
Oh.
And it is from... Scooterbot 42.
Oh, Scooty.
They write in, Dear YPB and any possible guests, wow, last week's game sounded really fun. In fact, it made me want to contact the mayor here to see if they could do anything about cleaning up the streets. I barged into town hall demanding to see the mayor. When they asked what I wanted, I told them I needed his help keeping riffraff off the streets, just like Hagger. They told me he wasn't there, and that I looked like the kind of riffraff I was talking about. All I could do was laugh. Clearly they were just telling lies to hurt me. Laugh and laugh. I laughed and laughed as security drug me out the front door. Anyway, if you could make an 80s movie into a video game, what would it be? Sincerely, Funky Fresh Scooterbutt 42. See, he's trying to make that nickname stick. I don't know if that's going to work.
I don't know how funky fresh he can get when he's sleeping in the dumpster.
Well, funky probably. Not too fresh. So, any come to mind? 80s movies.
It's already kind of been made and the character has starred in several games, but I would go Escape from New York with
okay.
Snake Plissken.
Yeah.
AKA with the whole Metal Gear Solid trilogy or whatever
well,
it is.
Yeah, that's kind of an illusion more than
the
guy's name blatant. Is Snake in the movie, in the game.
Right. He's got an eye patch, and it doesn't mean it's the same guy.
And he's gruff, and he's unstoppable. But outside of that.
And he's married to Goldie Hawn.
Right. And she shows up in the sequel.
Did you guys know Kurt Russell was considered for Luke Skywalker?
No.
Yeah, it's on one of the Star Wars DVDs, his audition tape.
What? I could see more as a Han Solo.
I guess that was the problem. So
they didn't offer him the other part. They just said, get the hell out of here.
At least according to Hamill said this was the case, that they
auditioned. It's like, oh, yeah, you know, Brad Pitt, he wanted to play my role because we look so alike. But I
got it instead.
No, they have it on YouTube. Like, they have some video there. No, I guess they mostly audition them in trios.
Mm.
So that was, you know, why it didn't go.
Well, it's also little known that Carrie Fisher originally auditioned for Chewbacca.
Oh, she would have made a great Chewbacca. I think that was a mistake.
Mm. Well, we'll never know. Todd, did you have any ideas?
My movie from the 80s to make a video game?
Starry
we'll go with Blue Velvet.
Oh, okay.
Oh, God.
Kind of like an L.A. noir mystery.
Yeah, fun little romp you can play with your kids. Hey, how about this? This is what you should do. Make a Lego Blue Velvet.
Oh, right.
Gotta collect all the earpiece Legos.
Oh, the collectibles. Precisely. Not bad.
See, Kyle McLaughlin, he's looking to pick up a check.
Yeah.
He's available.
And his hair already looks like a Lego piece, so.
Mm-hmm.
Back sec? Any thoughts? Are you Googling AIDS movies?
I would say Out of Africa.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which would be awesome. You'd be Robert Redford. And you'd be like shooting all these like animals, like lions, tigers, you know, all those African animals.
The ones that deserve to die because we are human.
And then all the like the natives would be coming at you. You could knife them like Russian attack.
Oh, call it Africa attack.
Might be a little politically
Africa
correct.
Sure. Africa attack.
African attack.
We're stepping in dangerous territory here.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man.
Well, on that note, Zach, did you receive any emails?
I didn't get any emails, but because of the subject matter of the show, I let a friend of mine know, and he wanted to join us. So hold on a second.
Oh, no.
Donnie! Come on.
Hello, is this the YPB?
Is this President Donald Trump?
President
elect? I heard that you guys were doing a Russian attack, and I knew I love the Russian people. I love my friend Vladimir Putin, so I knew I wanted to be a part of it, and I just wanted to say that I'm a
sir. This is an honor.
Hold on.
Zach, please stop laughing. Let the president finish.
Please.
My friend Backsack and I, we go back a long time. You know, with my wife Melania, we've had many dinners with Mrs. Sack. It's beautiful, wonderful. She makes an amazing borscht, one of the Russian snacks that I love.
Snacks?
Well, the name of the game is Russian Snacks, is it not?
Oh, no, Mr. President. Russian attack.
No, Russia will never attack us because my friend Vladimir Putin is in charge and he will never attack me.
Oh, so well, that's reassuring. Thank you.
Yeah. We're all glad we all voted for you now.
Donnie, are you done? Yeah, come here.
Hey, so sorry about that.
Oh, don't apologize. No, it's the first.
Yeah,
this is the first podcast that the president has been on since he's been elected.
I figured this would be a ratings coup for you.
Yeah. This is like Mark Maron. Like we just scooped Mark Maron.
Yeah, Bill Clinton sent us a few emails once, but those would not for air, not for air.
Okay, well, I figure you guys are in my debt now because I got you the president.
Pretty cool. My god! Yeah, Donnie, I mean now I see why you picked.
No, Donnie, not that way.
Oh,
out the other way. Okay, see you, buddy.
He's gone.
He figured it out.
Yeah, I like that you give him the hi hat immediately, though. Like, all right, now scram.
Yeah, just get out of here.
Clean yourself up.
Yeah,
go. Put yourself together. Wow.
That was nice of him, right? I mean,
he flew all the way from Washington to D.C. just for a 2-minute spot on our podcast. Yeah. Amazing.
Here's $20. Get yourself a bus ticket and a bucket of chicken.
He actually picked this game, didn't he? I mean, you just said it was you, but he's the one that chose it.
You got me.
Right.
You got me.
Well, it makes sense now.
Yeah.
It's the only way he'd come on.
Listen, he's a busy guy. He only surfaces for important things, and you know, he loves you guys. He's a regular listener.
It's only been a few days, so I can imagine how overwhelmed he is. Wow. This is incredible.
I know. You're welcome. You can thank me later. Let's move on.
Yeah, okay. We'll do it off air.
All right. Yeah, I received two emails, none from the president, but dear YPB boys, I hope you are all well. Just wanted to say I'm a bit disappointed that Cosmo hasn't been on in a while. She's the best. I heard what Scooty said, and he's right. I don't deserve him. I've decided to work on loving me right now. As we all know, we can't really love others until we love ourselves. I'm packing up the moped and going on a journey. With myself. I'm going to let fate decide where it takes me. I will send periodic updates of my adventures on my path to enlightenment and self-love. I'll probably keep my smartphone with me. My question for you is, how long do you think it takes to reach enlightenment? And which direction do you think it is in? And also, why doesn't Todd ever host the show? Bravely yours, Coots XOXO less than 3.
Wow. The cryptic sign off, but yeah.
Yeah.
Can only assume it's Cooter Slut 69.
Yes, I think that's safe history. To assume.
The heavy, heavy burden that I could feel in her words.
Well, I think she had two questions. How long do you think it takes to reach enlightenment, and which direction do you think it is in?
Well, as we learned by playing Russian Attack, you just need to beat boss number 6, which is ? Find yourself.
Oh my god, you're right. She knew.
Yeah.
Cootie like, somehow knew.
It's like the end of Rambo where the true enemy is within. You just gotta stop fighting the war.
Wow. Yeah, I think Todd nailed it. Just beat Russian Attack. And the direction is up. Oh, you know what? They give you the direction, too. It says just go to the right and destroy your enemies. Oh, my God. Both questions answered by Russian Attack.
Oh, actually, guys, this is really weird. I just Googled enlightenment, and it turns out it's on my road. It's on the road I just moved to. Enlightenment,
really?
Enlightenment Day Spa is on Warwick Avenue in Rhode Island. So,
well, better let Cootie know.
I better lock my goddamn doors. That's what that means. All right. Well, the other email. Hey guys, what's your favorite grizzled 1980s character actor, and why doesn't Todd host the show? For real, sincerely, Dabney Coleman.
Oh. Wow! What a coincidence!
Wow!
This is a
heard
show
about that so quickly.
P.S. Sylvester Stallone is a pussy.
Oh. Ooh.
Shots fired by Dad.
Calling him out.
Wow. Does Donnie want to come back for that one?
Hold on, I'll see if he's still here.
He might have heard the magic word.
Donnie! Donnie!
Did he leave yet? Is he on Air Force One?
No, he's hold on. He was held up. His helicopter's not here yet. Hold on.
Oh.
Hold on. Yes, I'm back.
Oh. Hello, Mr. President.
Hey.
Hello, YPB boys.
Donnie, who do you like better, Dabney Coleman or Gerald McRaney, also known as Major Dad?
I'll tell you, Dabney Coleman is a wonderful human being. I once shared a margarita with him at Trader Vic's, and it was tremendous. We had a great time, and he told me all the stories about working on that one movie that took place in San Antonio, where I think I would be putting a golf course soon to help revitalize the Riverwalk area. So in short, excuse me.
Yes.
Excuse me.
Go on.
Let me finish. In short, Dabney Coleman, the best. McRaney, horrible, horrible, sad. All right, I gotta go, guys. Zach, get me out of here. Get my helicopter.
All right. Oh, hey. Wow, that's just a magical appearance.
Thank you for letting him know that.
It's lucky I caught him.
Yeah. I know. The helicopter, it's taking a while.
Yeah.
He's a busy guy.
Yeah. Very busy. He's gonna go probably tweet right now about how horrible the Salvation Army is or something.
YPB fake news.
I really hope he retweets us. We can get a lot of listeners.
Hey, thanks for coming back and saying that thing about the tweet, Donnie.
Well,
still ahead and find the door.
Well, Todd, there was a question posed directly to you. What's your favorite grizzled 1980s character actor?
Ooh, grizzled character actor. Well, I don't know about character actor, but I love me some Lone Wolf McQuaid portrayed by Chuck Norris in the movie of the same name. Because did you guys catch that flick where Chuck Norris is Lone Wolf McQuaid? He gets buried alive he's in this truck. He gets buried alive by a backhoe, and what he does is he has a can of Pearl beer, and he cracks that thing open, chugs a bit, and pours it all over his head, revs up his truck engine, and blows out of that dirt pile.
You know, I've never seen that movie, but now that you describe that, I really honestly want to.
I've had to do that many Saturday mornings, so.
Yeah,
I can relate.
God, there are so many good 80s movies. I always remember the one, I don't even think it's an 80s movie. It's Duel.
Oh, yeah.
Wikipedia's telling it's from 71. The first, I think it was, Steven Spielberg in his full-length film directing debut. Him, of all people.
Oh, yes.
So,
has he done other films?
I believe he's just known for this one.
Just Duel. No, I remember they used to show it all the time on TV out here. I think it must be a public domain movie or something like that. Anyways, we should move along here. Todd.
Where?
Yeah. Todd, we're on our way to enlightenment, but while we're reaching for it, did you get any asks this week?
Yeah, let's help somebody out. Let's ask the sweet boys. If you have any questions about life, sex, love, relationships, or any other subject that's been troubling you, then please write into us at parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com with the subject ask, followed by your question. Remember, we will always keep your questions anonymous unless otherwise requested. And this one comes from Dabney Coleman.
Whoa!
It's anonymous.
Oh. You jokester.
And they write, any plumbers been hit on or seduced by a customer? Any wives worry about this? Ooh. My husband just got hired into a plumbing company, and Kay was wondering how many females worry about this with their man. or if any plumbers have been through this and stayed faithful and not did anything.
Okay.
And that is their ask. So any plumbers? Do we have any plumbers on today's show?
Well, famously, Backsack is a working plumber. Has this ever happened to you?
You jest. However, I have done some minor plumbing work in my day.
You've laid some pipe.
I think you can attest to that, right?
Yeah.
The
sewage
plumbers.
Line.
Wink.
Oh no. I'd say that for this caller, you probably shouldn't be worried about it. I don't think plumbers get hit on that much. Not something to worry about, I'd say.
Mm. Well, I mean,
that's insane.
I can only go. Wait, what? Go ahead.
Because I mean, just based on the number of footage I've seen with plumbers, they just constantly get hit on. Like, they don't even do any work. They just walk in the house, and there's the housewife. Lonely housewife.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Footage, I believe that's...
All that documentary footage I've seen.
those are the guys that are there to fix Ina Cobble.
Yes. Exactly.
I think the hierarchy goes pizza delivery boys and men, then plumbers, and then...
boys.
And then like... Uber Eats and like those kind of things, like those guys.
Uber Eats.
They never specified what they were eating.
The few Uber Eats people I've encountered have usually been fat white women.
Well, I did say that they were third. So I don't know what are the kids use in L.A. What's tearing up the Pacific
Islands?
We Island?
Use Postmates.
Oh, there you go. Postmates.
It sounds like a cereal.
Yeah. Some people say Foodler. Whatever you use, it's third. So.
Well, you needed more to do the listening voice.
I can't think of any more, man.
Ma'am, I brought your soup, salad, breadsticks, and chicken parm from Olive Garden. I'm ready for my tip.
Don't want it to get cold.
I brought your 2 for $25 from Applebee's. Do you want some mozzarella sticks?
Well, I think we nailed that question.
I'll say this. Just be happy that he has a job, okay? This economy. I mean, Trump hasn't got us fully back on track yet.
Oh.
He's clearly on his way. I mean, if
of course.
If this interview was any indication.
Yeah, I mean,
dicking around on podcasts.
Just be grateful he's not an Uber Eat driver. And that he's a plumber.
Yeah. Just make sure he doesn't get you pregnant. Yeah. In reference to a past writer.
Pregnant?
Or anyone else.
Yeah.
Any housewives.
Yeah. No getting any you or any housewives pregnant. Anyways, we should wrap up now. Todd, did you have anything you wanted to sign off with here?
Sure.
To survive a war, you gotta become war.
Wow. First Donald Trump and now Sylvester Stallone. It's a star-studded show tonight.
It's a veritable cavalcade of stars.
Yes. Huel, how about you there?
Peace has arrived at last.
Oh, that's good. Nice. And Zach, thanks so much for guesting. Anything you'd like to plug?
Hold on, Dabney Coleman's here.
Well, he's
hey,
he's
a, he's you a, guys, you guys working 9 to 5 over there? Oh. Oh, hey, you're working hard, 9 to 5. Hey, Dolly. Oh, hey, thanks, Debbie.
All right. Oh, Jesus.
Oof.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you.
We have fun.
Always a pleasure. We have fun.
It's a tiny bit.
Yeah. All right. On that note, it's time to sign off for the week, and here's a snifferoo from next week's game.
It may be the most addictive toy in history, and it's definitely the hottest thing this Christmas. Nintendo video games. They first arrived from Japan 3 years ago, and now millions of American kids are hooked and mesmerized. When they do stop to talk, it's in a language only they understand. Well, John Stossel went out to discover the secret of Nintendo's success, but first he had to find one,